Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. You're probably wondering why you're not hearing the honey-soaked Arizonian tones of our host, Wesley, but he's currently on an American sabbatical for 3 weeks, and I think he's trying out for the Knicks, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, well, he's probably better than the starting front court there. It's gross over there.
For sure.
We do miss you, VG. It's kind of not the same.
It's definitely not the same.
No, I missed that intro.
Yeah,
I'm sure all our listeners do too. Maybe he could like poison Derek Fisher's Gatorade.
Oh, I think he'd have a bit of stiff competition. Surely there'd be a lot of cunts trying to do that at the moment.
Maybe he's just gone for the In-N-Out burgers bag.
Well, yeah, definitely. If you want to, everyone wants to chime in and guess how much weight Wes is going to put on in the 3 weeks he's away, you can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/FCP podcast. And while we're plugging, I guess we might as well get everyone to hit subscribe on iTunes.
Please do.
Give us the subscriptions. We got a massive show. We're going to talk all the major trades. Rondo, Josh Smith, of course. Jeff Green's in Memphis now. Hectic. Mozgov's on the move. We've got JR and Dion Waiters. We're going to also tell you our All-Star selections. We're going to
pumped on that, dude.
Fucking oath.
Yep.
Our yes and no's, obviously, and probably a hypothetical.
Yeah, maybe one or two. See how we go.
But yeah, what's going on, Rabbit?
Well, I'm killing it at fantasy ball. Just thought everyone would like to know, just because of your mate Anthony Davis, who you doubted at the start of the season.
Yeah, didn't I?
But I'm not going to stop giving you shit about that. Random, but I was like just playing the YouTube game last night, and I got stuck in it in a hole, and I ended up watching an epic 30 for 30. Have you ever watched the Chris Herron doco? It's called Unguarded.
No idea.
It's pretty sick. I didn't know much about him, but he kind of rose to stardom, like high school prodigy and shit. Amazing player. Got drafted by... He went to Boston College, but he had some gnarly drug issues, etc. You know, that kind of story. But he ended up as a Nugget, and then he ended up in Boston, but mad junkie the whole time. Hey, crazy. Living this like secret life. Played in Europe, played everywhere. And it's just kind of his story. He got addicted to coke, then Oxycontin, and then eventually heroin. But just the one little anecdote from it, there's a moment, he says, where he was in his Boston sweats, ready to play a game, couldn't play without Oxycontin, couldn't get on the court. So he's ringing his dealer saying, come over, you got to get here. And he did. And so he went out 5 minutes before the game. He'd warmed up already on the street corner, freezing in Boston, in his Boston outfit, waiting for his heroin dealer.
His Oxy's hectic.
Oh, sorry. His Oxy dealer. Mad.
That's unbelievable.
So it was an amazing story. I knew nothing about it. So that's what I watched, and I highly recommend it. Unguarded.
Have you heard the big injury news from today? We're recording this on a Sunday. But your mate, Joey Crawford.
Oh, no.
Joey Crawford happened? Down with a suspect knee injury.
It's devastating.
Unheard of. People are calling for his retirement already, which I love.
Yep.
Fuck off, Joey Crawford.
Yeah.
Cancer on the league.
Oh, heavy. That's heavy. What happened? Was he going for a big claim on another like charge or something and ate shit? Please
no,
tell me,
yeah.
That...
I think he's overextended at going for his hectic dances. Yeah. But yeah, get better, Joey, or don't. I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess let's might as well get straight into it. And we're going to talk... Our All-Star selection.
Yeah, let's
think,
do that straight
away. Off the bat.
Yep.
So the latest round of results are in, and as it stands in the West, we'll be looking at Steph Curry and Kobe in the backcourt, the monobrow, Marc Gasol, and Blake, the biracial facial griffin, would be your starting five for the West. And the East is going to be Wall, Dwayne Wade, LeBriz, Powell, and Melo. And I don't think anything's really going to change. That's probably the starters that we're looking at.
No Durantula in the starting five.
No, not yet.
He has been injured a lot, but I'm surprised Kobe always gets the votes, though, doesn't he? Doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
that's a given.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe this will be the last year. Maybe next year will be the last year we'll see Kobe voted in as
a
starter.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's doing it pretty easy at the moment, and Curry's just behind LeBron in total votes.
Oh, well, who wants to go first? We've got Wes's.
First, I should explain how we've done it. I don't know how you've done it, but I've done it like guys that definitely aren't getting voted in.
Totally.
And possibly aren't going to make it in via the coaches, but who should be in the conversation. That's the way I've done it.
I guess I kind of just did it by players I really like and tried to be a bit underground about it, but still there's a few big names for me, but just guys I think are deserving and maybe like a bit of a suspect one or two, but yeah.
Well, you couldn't be more suspect than some of Wes's. But we'll get to that. So why don't we start with guards in the West.
Yep.
Wes has got Eric Bledsoe, which is such a homer vote, I can't believe it. But he's having an okay season, I guess.
Okay season, that's right. Yeah.
And we share one in Monte Ellis. Me and Wes have both got Monte Ellis, and okay. I've got Mike Conley in there as well.
Okay. I went with Lillard because I love Lillard.
Lillard is the bomb.
That's about it, really. I think he's definitely deserving more of Bledsoe and probably more of Monte. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to go against Kobe and against... who else did you say was...
Steph.
Oh, Steph, of course. And I've got Steph. Yeah, Steph and Lillard are my two guards.
Can't argue with that. They're definitely my two favorite guards in the West.
Totally.
I think Monte has just sort of had this a long time coming. Mm. And it's super tough guards in the West.
Oh, totally. Like Conley, he's probably not going to make it, but he probably deserves it, you could argue. Harden's in there.
Sure, Westbrook would be in the conversation.
Tony Parker won't make it. Like, it's crazy when you think about the talent of these guys. But
swimming,
that's just another...
And Chris Paul.
And he's having a great season.
Just scratching the surface.
Again, just the strength of the West is mind-blowing at the moment.
It's definitely crazy. Here's where it gets super interesting for Wes. Forwards in the West. He's got
By the way, because I know you're going to listen to this, VG... Fucking disappointing. Disappointing. I thought we were taking this seriously, and you're not taking it seriously. Or if you are, that's even worse. So, whatever. Yeah. Go for it, bag.
Well, he's got Aaron Baines and Steven Adams in there, and I think he didn't know the difference between the All-Star game or a fist fight. Because that would be a very entertaining fist fight, but definitely shithouse basketball.
At least he's sticking to his guns on players he really, really, really likes.
Yeah,
and probably would like to be. I don't see how Baines is in any way, shape, or form an attractive selection for VG.
It's amazing that his name is even able to be selected, but good on him nonetheless. Yeah.
Oh, when I was doing it, like, you can select everyone, I'm pretty sure.
So, Wes has got Baines and Adams, which is retarded, and the monobrow in the middle.
Yeah, I threw in Anthony Davis, had to, a big fan for ages, obviously. Marc Gasol made my cut, I don't think anyone can argue with that. And then this is where it gets a little bit of a gray area. You can yell at me if you want, but Draymond Green is my rogue.
Unbelievable. Yep.
I know, but
they don't need a ball boy.
I'm a warrior. Hey, fuck you, man. I'm a warrior guy. Come on. He's nearly averaging a triple-double. It's crazy.
Yeah, so did Lance Stevenson last year, and that doesn't mean... Yeah, no, fair enough. Have any great season.
How can I say Durant? How could I say Draymond Green over Durant, of course? But you know what I'm doing, people.
Yeah, well, you're about to hate on what I'm doing.
Sick.
Some guys that need consideration, all three, well, maybe one of these guys will get in. Two of them probably definitely won't. I got Tyson Chandler in there.
Oh, wow.
I just feel like he's the cog that's making everything work there in Dallas. He's averaging a double-double, second in the league in field goal percentage. He's beasting.
Nah.
He deserves some recognition.
No, sorry. If you've got that, then Draymond Green doesn't look nearly as bad. People are going to go with me on Draymond over Chandler.
And I've also got... My main man, Boogie, in there.
Oh, Boogie's rad.
Yeah.
I can see that. I'm happy with that. Although he's kind of gone down a little bit in the last couple of weeks, I reckon.
Definitely not as strong as the start of the season, but still, the guy's putting in work.
I said he's the best big man at the current complete big man a few weeks ago.
And I said it was all going to fall to shit. Mm,
and then he got a tech foul a couple of times. Yep, and, yeah,
he's
got
throwing
a bit angry.
People to the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, 24 and 12. Mm. He's monstering. This is his year to break through. And also a guy I think that needs a bit more credit is Tyreke Evans from the Pelicans.
Well, he's definitely... He needed to lift his game and bring it back and be a proper option for them, the Pelicans. And he's doing that, which is good to see.
Yeah, 17-5-5.
Mm-hmm.
He's always the guy taking the big shots.
Yeah.
He's single-handedly won a couple of games for them in the last couple of weeks. Big one against Phoenix. He hit some huge clutch shots.
So these are your notable mentions? Is that what you're saying?
They're the guys I'd like to see be in the conversation.
I had Swaggy P as a notable mention, just saying.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And what about coaches? Did you do a West coach?
Well,
I didn't do a West Coast.
No, we all know who you're going to say.
Of course, yeah. Well, are you not going to say it?
No, well, that's how it goes off a winning record, so highly likely that Kerbom
can we follow that? Is there anyone tracking the numbers? Are they tracking coaches as well?
Well, it's by the time the last results are in, whoever's team's at the top of the conference does it.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that's how, okay. how it plays out.
Cool. Well, then Kerr's coaching West. Bring it.
Yes. Massive.
And what? So Atlanta coach, Budenholzer? How do I say that?
Budenholzer?
Budenholzer.
Coach Buds, that's what he is.
Coach Buds, cool. Yeah. Tibbs, Buds. Yeah, sick. So he's going to probably be the East?
Yeah, it's shaping crazy. Up that way. Yeah.
Wow, good on him though. That's awesome.
It's got mad time for him.
Yeah.
And so who have you got for guards in the East?
I got John Wall. Yeah. And I went with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, well, we've all got Jimmy Butler. Mm. You can't deny it.
Such a good story. It's awesome. But he won't make it to start.
No, he definitely won't start, but I'll be shocked if he's not there.
Well, you know, the fans are the fans. Like, it's not based on merit, like we said, so...
But the coaches will vote him in.
I hope so.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, I can't imagine why he wouldn't be in there. If you look... Have a look at the
it's nowhere near as hectic as the West.
He's got more votes than Derrick Rose at the moment.
Awesome. That's great.
How crazy is that?
Well, at least people are, like, going with... Well, yeah, but he's on Chicago, so maybe a lot of Chicago fans are like, D. Rose, meh, okay, we'll vote for...
But look at these guys that are in the top 10 guards in the East. You've got guys like the Bradley Greek Beal, Freak, Lou Williams.
Yep, Kyle Lowry has to be an all-star, if you ask me.
Yeah, Lowry will be there. There's no way he's not going to be there.
Who did VG went for?
He had Teague and
Jeff
and
Teague.
Butler.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff Teague better be there too.
Yeah, I like that. He's been playing out of his mind. It's awesome.
Jeff Teague hasn't got as many votes as fucking the Greek Freak or Lou Williams. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
It's a fickle NBA world we live in.
Anyway, that's... I've got some rogue motherfuckers as my forwards as well.
As your East? Oh,
None of these guys will make it, but same deal as before.
Mm. Do you have Cody Zeller?
No, not yet. I was thinking about Plumlee. How about that?
I know, I was going to put him in.
It's not outrageous.
It's so outrageous.
It's not outrageous. It's definitely not outrageous.
How dare you?
I've got, I think, Korver.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
And wouldn't you love to see Korver in the actual game?
Yeah.
Then the East are never out of it if Korver is on there. Oh,
did
my
he,
God.
Did he make... Has he been an All-Star before?
No, never been an All-Star.
Yeah, I like that. And, it's not going to happen, though.
Two other guys who I think need some love are Tobias Harris on the Magic. A cool 18-7. They've been surprisingly good.
That's a good fantasy pickup. I might have a look at that.
No doubt. Yeah. And me and Wes thought likewise with Paul Millsap.
Yeah, Paul Millsap's so underrated.
Yeah, 100%.
I love his game.
And, you know, he's received less votes than guys like Pierce and fucking Garnett.
Well, Millsap was my, like, I want him in there, but he's not going to do it, so I just went with Carmelo because it's obvious. I mean, Carmelo deserves to be an All-Star.
Totally.
Another, like, you know, consistent high-level scoring season. There's no way you can count him out. Is he leading it in the forwards? Where are we there?
Third. So he'll be voted in as a starter. But it's weird, like, it's someone with that sort of, having that sort of season on another team might not get,
That's true.
Guys like Carter Williams.
Yeah, sure.
On a team like Philly that are sucking so bad.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see if he wasn't voted in by the fans whether he'd make it, but I'm sure he would.
And what else is super rad, and I think it'll happen, I hope it'll happen, Gasol on Gasol in an All-Star game?
Starting.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But fucking deserved. Did you have anyone in Wes's domain?
Wes's gone for Millsap, which is passable, and Greg Monroe.
It's not passable.
Which is unforgivable. And Vucevic.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Wes has watched a total of zero Orlando Magic games
know,
as well.
I know.
So, yeah.
But he's not having as strong a season as last year.
No, I don't think so either.
Whatevs.
He's missed a handful of games.
Mm.
Yeah, don't love it.
Okay.
But nonetheless...
And so, I guess, Buds is going to coach the East, or Tibbs maybe. Tibbs, no, Chicago are fourth. No Van Gundy, not into it.
Oh, you know, not...
Look what he's done with Detroit in seven games since Josh Smith. What about coaching decision of the year? Pretty much firing Josh Smith. I'm just firing you.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Straight up. Not trading you, just firing you.
Should we get into it? Are we going to, like, talk about some of these trades? We can start with Joshua Smith?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's crazy that they're going to pay him $27 million to fuck off, pretty much.
Totally. And he's still got paid more money. He's getting more money from Houston.
Yeah. But that $27 million is, I think, still over... It's going to be over 4 years. It's not over... Or three years.
Spread out till 2020.
But unbelievable.
How do you feel about how things have gone in Houston since he's been gone?
Oh, like, you know, everyone can jump on a bit. Oh, like, that first game, he kind of... blew up and, you know, everyone was pretty happy and it's all happy days with Dwighty and, you know, a few vicious dunks, sick. But since then, he's back on the bench.
Yeah.
He's been benched.
And probably for the best as well.
Well, he's averaging 10-4 in 9 games so far. So, yeah, look, I don't know. He looks better at the 4, obviously. Work out at the 3 in Detroit. So,
no.
You know, that's nothing. That's not mind-blowing or anything. But I don't know. If this is Josh Smith now, he's just like a 10 guy. You might get some production off him off the bench. And he's a bit of a highlight reel. He can finish, but maybe he'll rebound sometimes. This is just like the Atlanta days, you know, they're kind of done. That was what my yes or no was. Is the reality of Josh Smith now this 10.4, you know, 10 points, 4 rebounds? Is that it?
I don't see why it should be because... You know, even this season, he's shown that he can be a bit of a Swiss Army knife.
Yep.
You know, he's averaging like 4.5 assists before he left Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He can definitely pass the ball. And we all know that he can play defense and block shots
mm-hmm.
as well. So from a scoring perspective, you know, maybe. And if he's going to get limited minutes, then mm-hmm. that's fine as well. But I think the move for the bench was a really positive thing for him. Because Houston liked to start Monte Yunus or Jones that have a bit more range, and then you're talking Ariza, mm-hmm. Harden and Beverly. You got a lot of outside shooters and you're not clogging the lane for Dwight.
Yeah, I think he's kind of it's kind of too overwhelming if you start him for guys to get their own offense, like for Harden to run his thing. He's just kind of doesn't suit. They need like a sort of a stretch four guy, and Josh Smith certainly isn't a stretch four.
Even though he thinks he is.
Yeah. Don't shoot another jump shot like ever from like 10 feet.
No.
I think that's what Mikhail's got to tell him.
But I think like, they're 4-4 since he's been over there. Ultimately, I think it's a good move, bringing him mm-hmm. in.
Oh, yeah.
He's closing games. He might not be starting games, but he's finishing some games. Yeah, he had a huge end of the game last night against the other night against the Cavs where he blocked a chase down layup and went and scored at the other end on an offensive rebound.
Yeah, I saw that. Threw a nice behind the back to Harden as well.
Yeah. He's got all the skills, so I think that's the right thing.
Is it a headspace thing? It seems to me like it's just totally a mental thing with him. Like, he's happy and he's enjoying himself, blah, blah, blah. Kind of similar to how Dwight Howard, you know, we used to speculate on. Is it mentally, is he sound? Is he cool? Is he enjoying himself and having fun? He might play better. You know, as soon as he gets, like, yelled at, maybe he goes into his shell and starts sucking. Maybe.
Yeah.
Could just be that kind of concept. You'd argue that Mikhail should be able to get something good out of him. They played the same position for a long time.
No one's been able to ever to get him to realize what he is.
Mm.
That's the thing. You know, he's still shooting long twos and threes here in Houston, and surely that can't be part of the plan.
I think he's just probably a guy who's got a pretty big ego and said, well, I got paid fucking $52 million. I'm over 4 years. How am I not, like, an important part of the team, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably how he thinks. I don't know. But, I'm to answer my own yes or no, like, will he be an X factor again? I don't see it, hey. I'd like to believe it, but when you're toxic on two teams and as soon as you leave, like Detroit going a 7-0 run.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Hard to argue.
Yeah, so.
Riddle me this, though. Mm. If he was getting paid, say, $6 million a season and he was doing what he's doing now, would you think he'd be a good acquisition?
For Houston,
yeah.
Would he be a good acquisition?
Say they signed him in the offseason for $6 million.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But then he would be a role player straight up. There would be no contradiction or no sort of gray area about does he need to play more minutes, blah, blah, blah. You get the minutes you're told, hey, if you go score 10 points and 5 rebounds, that's epic.
Yeah.
Know your play, sick, stoked on it.
It's funny that one of the stipulations of where he was getting traded was that he wanted to start.
Yeah.
And then within 4 games, he was back on the bench.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy if I was him if I'm finishing games. And more importantly, that they're winning games. I think it's going to work out pretty well, even though they've sort of stumbled out of the gates now. It's pretty tough working in a brand new piece like that.
I think in anyone's book, he's an upgrade to their 4 spot. So, hey, sick.
Thumbs up.
Yep. Can I give you a hypothetical?
Yeah.
It involves Josh Smith. If you're an NBA coach, straight up, would you rather acquire J.R. Smith or Josh Smith? Both in full-blown head case mode, J.R. shoelaces, all that stuff when he was in that stage, or Josh Smith shooting threes even when, you know, coaches threaten to kill his family if he takes another, you know, 15-foot jump shot.
Yeesh.
Both in full-blown head case mode.
Best. So, at their worst.
Yeah.
At their worst.
Yep.
Ah.
Because J.R. Smith can do some crazy shit. good and bad.
Yeah.
And when he does good shit, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to say JR, wouldn't you?
Because I don't know.
Because even at the worst of JR, he's at least... He can swing a game. Yeah. I don't think you can say that for Josh Smith.
Yeah. There's been more times JR's been a factor than Josh Smith. That's fair enough.
Yeah. And just the way Detroit are going now without him just makes you think.
Yeah.
I don't see the Knicks going on a 7-0 run.
No.
Now that JR's out of town.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow.
But imagine that. Full-blown head case mode, JR Smith.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It might happen. It might happen. We might see it.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, we might.
Lord.
Speaking of that, should we have a chat about that trade?
So we're talking about...
That's probably the biggest trade of the last few weeks. Shumpert, Waiters, J.R. Smith.
Definitely. Yeah. So for the Cavs, Waiters is out. In comes J.R. Smith and Shumpert. Waiters obviously going to Oklahoma City. And Mozgov coming across for the Cavs as well.
Yeah, they had to get Mozgov with Varejao going down. What do you think is Mozgov kind of... What did they pay for him? What was it? What's his... Well, they're not paying anything, sorry. They just
They gave up a pick for it.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's no one really else out there.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, I think he's kind of overrated because he's just the best of a pretty average bunch at the moment.
It's better than D'Alembert.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, and it's better than playing K-Love and fucking Marion together.
Yeah.
There's no D in Cleveland at the moment.
Better than Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a starting five for Cleveland now of Kyrie, mm-hmm. Shumpert, I assume, when he gets healthy.
Definitely.
LeBron, Love, and Mozgov.
Yeah, and that's pretty good.
You feel good about that?
I don't know if it's like Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, finals, sorry. Eastern finals. Is it?
Well, yeah.
I don't think that team can beat Chicago.
It's not tons of shooting, really. No. Like, Love and Kyrie can obviously shoot, and LeBriz is no slouch either, but it's not a really lethal shooting unit, but I feel like they get a ton of points.
The D is a tad better, obviously, with Mozgov and Shumpert. They both are two-way players to a point. What production you get out of them, they can play both. The bench is stronger for Cleveland now.
So you'd be looking at like Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson's
Mike
off
Mira,
the bench.
Yeah. JR, Sean Marion, and Dellavedova.
Yeah, that's capable.
I guess the best thing for this is that God bless you, Deli mate. Mm. Fucking good on you. But
yeah.
The less he plays for them, probably the better.
Totally.
You know, you want maybe 10 minutes out of him where he can come and really annoy the shit out of someone on defense.
Yeah, but you know, he's got time. He's going to be around. He seems handy enough. I think if he doesn't stay with Cleveland next season, you know, he'll stay in the NBA. So he's just got to, you know, hopefully develop a little more and hopefully he stays with Cleveland. He can learn some shit and get better. But this season, you don't want to give him too many minutes.
No, if you're a championship contender, you don't really want to be relying on him for major production. He's not going to give that to you.
Can you tell me the quote JR said when he got to Cleveland?
Oh, no, I watched it. I didn't write it down, though.
Oh, he said that because someone asked him about how you think you'll fit into the offense. And he's like, worst comes to worst, my motto when in doubt is shoot the ball. So I'm going to shoot the ball and hopefully... that doesn't catch nobody off guard. And in 18 minutes, he was 0 for 5. So, yeah.
But he backed it up the next night with a decent game, 27 or something like that off the bench.
Well, that's it. The good and bad of JR. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about... Because you're basically swapping out Waiters for Smith.
Well, it's a head case for a head case, isn't it?
Yeah. Straight up.
But I think Waiters is cops like it. A bit of an unfair... I've never seen him really lose his mind. I just hear he's a bit of a me-first kind of guy.
He definitely is. Like, yeah. I think watching him, you see if he's got like a two-on-one fast break, he likes to go on his own.
Sure.
He definitely doesn't have... I just wouldn't... If I was trying to win a chip,
yep.
I wouldn't want a guy like that on my team. Well, I just don't think he's in it for the right reasons,
so,
to sound like The Bachelor. But
when Durant came out and said, we're going to welcome him, you know, we're going to make him feel wanted, etc., that's all very well and nice, but you got Westbrook and Durant commanding shots. When he starts taking some of their shots, what's going to happen there? Are we going to see, you know, it all fall apart? He's definitely not a Harden. He's no Harden replacement.
Nah.
So, but... I don't know about that dynamic there.
Yeah, I don't love it. OKC, we're going to be my sneaky title contender prior to the trade.
Yep.
But I just think, especially now, like you said, you've got Waiters and Durant and also Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
OKC were never really a fluid ball movement kind of team.
Not at all.
They weren't really like that sort of nice selfless offense. And then you throw another ball stopper in there. I'm worried.
Well, they didn't really give up much for him, though. So
protected first rounder. Yeah. It's heavily protected. And Lance Thomas and some other bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not Reggie Jackson, which was the main thing. Yeah. Which is the rumor. But
hey, it couldn't hurt. I mean, if he's like... does that mean... he's going to be a proper second unit scorer for him.
Well, what do you do with it? Do you keep the starting five as it is with Roberson starting, or do you think you bring either one of those guys, Jackson or Waiters? I don't think he can.
I'd rather put Jackson in. He's been there with Westbrook before. He's played with Durant before. He knows when he should take shots. You know, he's similar to Waiters, but he's not as gung-ho in terms of, like, I'm going to get mine first, you know? Yeah. And I think he's fallen into his role okay now that Durant and Westbrook are both back. I don't see how you have Westbrook, Durant, and Waiters on the court at the same time and everyone's happy.
No.
I don't really see that.
So, if you're Scottie Brooks...
Yep.
Are you going to start... You start Reggie Jackson?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I'd start him. And I'd be happy to play Waiters with, like, Durant at times, but I don't think I could... I wouldn't be confident, and I'd be a bit fearful for the team dynamic if Waiters, Reggie, and Westbrook were on the court together. Yeah. I don't know if that'll work. Westbrook will stare fucking daggers at Waiters if he's jacking four shots. I know it. And all of a sudden, you have a blow-up, and then Waiters will be gone again. You know, like, Waiters reminds me of someone like a Marbury or someone who's, like, epic, but he's just, like, on a losing, you know, under 500 team every year. Possibly an all-star, sick, but, like, yeah, you know, like, when it comes to winning... Meh, I don't know. That might be harsh, but
yeah,
I don't know. We haven't seen it. Maybe he just hasn't been on the right team yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready to...
He's got mad game.
He does, but I don't think he's designed to work in that sort of a system. I think they're going to ultimately...
Yeah.
It was worth a shot, but...
Yeah.
But so what happens with Reggie Jackson now? You think they're going to keep him after this season? Or are they going to try and parlay him into another big man? Or you think they might try and sign and trade him?
I don't know. What, he's off contract.
Yeah, he's...
They got to pay him better.
Yeah.
It depends what they offer him. I think you try and keep him. He's a stopgap player. He did so well when Westbrook was out. He is fluid in terms of knowing when to take a right shot or running an offense, you know, and step back and get guys going. He definitely knows when to defer to Durant and feed Durant. I think he's a pretty... I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go out and get another big, what, with Jackson's money? Like, I don't know. I think he's worth keeping. He's a pretty good leader for the team now. I think he's pretty valuable to OKC. I think you hold on to him if you can.
I just think with Waiters now, that backcourt is very crowded. I think one of those guys needs to either turn into a wing player or another power forward. Collison's got to be almost done.
Yeah.
I think Perry Jones is proving that, you know, him and Jeremy Lamb, these guys, they've had their opportunities now. And
but couldn't you turn, like, Robinson and Lamb into something better?
I don't think they have the sort of value that Jackson or...
I just OKC would be very hesitant to get rid of guys who are a good part of their nucleus. They're not rebuilding or anything like that. I don't know. I don't see... they're very hesitant to make moves, especially after they fuck the Harden trade.
They're also very hesitant to pay the fucking tax.
Yeah, that's very true as well. So, I don't know. It's a hard one if you're... what's his name?
Sam Presti.
Sam Presti, yeah. I really don't with that one. That's a tough one.
It's very tough.
Mm.
But yeah, OKC. I don't think I like it.
Well, how do they... Are they still your red hot tip if everyone's healthy?
No, I just think that would definitely throw a massive spanner in the works.
Yeah, hard.
Having Waiters out there. And it's, you know, like you said, it doesn't take much for Westbrook to completely lose his shit.
Not at all. He's been sucking lately.
Oh, we've been seeing it the last few games.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, you can only afford to lose four games in a playoff series. And
man, they're chasing that eighth spot still. Let's not forget how far down the table they are. And I don't even know if they're 500. Are they 500?
No, they're a game below 500.
It's fucking nuts. So they can't afford to be, you know, figuring it out, the offense out. And they can't afford to be, like, having any drama with, you know, minutes and shots and that. And if Waiters comes in, it may be. They're 18 and 19 at the moment. So, yeah, heavy. Heavy shit.
Very heavy. All right.
Oi, bag. I'm going to throw a douchebag of the week at you.
Okay.
I've got two. This is an honorable mention, so I might do this and then you can give me one.
Okay.
But we've done it before, honorable mention or update douchebag of the week, I guess. You know who I'm talking about, our boy Robert Swift.
Oh,
you may remember him from such podcast topics like Sad Tale of Ex-NBA Star Turned Junkie, or Ex-NBA Player Squatting in Foreclosed House with Rocket Launcher.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, couldn't forget it.
This week he was charged with attempted robbery after trying to break into a house in Gold Bar, Washington.
How is he roaming the streets when he got picked up with a fucking rocket launcher?
I don't know. There's a warrant out. He was wanted, apparently. So, I don't know how he got free the first time, but they were looking for him. And he was trying to break into a house super high, apparently. He told the fuzz when they came, like, I'm super high right now.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, you know, it's a bit sad, but...
Swifty.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is he behind bars now? What the fuck's happening?
He's headed for the slammer now.
Thank God.
You like that pun I just threw at you? The slammer. Then now you go. You give me one.
Well, my one is more of a organizational douche of the week.
Oh, cool.
You know the Westboro Baptist Church?
Oh, this is fucked up.
You may remember them from such pickets as...
Dead soldiers. Funerals. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck them.
They're not into anything to do with homosexuals or normal people or sanity
or reality.
Anything like that. Yep. Today, they are picketing the Blazers Magic game because back in 2013, the Blazers, they announced that they were publicly supporting marriage equality in Oregon.
So they're just coming to it now? They're just deciding where we've on our schedule. They're just
letting them know.
Yep.
They believe in magic.
Well, they're probably very busy. They've got to pick it a lot, I guess. So.
Lots to pick it. Yeah. But they said, and quote, "The Portland Trailblazers punched the Lord Jesus Christ in the face."
That's gross.
Can you believe that?
Just get in touch with, like, at least no one really takes him seriously anymore. So, well, I don't live in America. I can't vouch for that, but I hope not.
Yeah. Fuck off, you miserable cunts. Yeah. Leave us alone. Leave everyone alone. It's douches.
Fucking terrible agenda. Yeah. It's backwards. That's a good one. That's a very serious, warranted one. Fuck them. That's bullshit. I'll give you another one.
Yep.
This is a fella called Michael Lamont. Now, you could be forgiven for not knowing who this cat is, but he tried to roll my boy fucking Mo Buckets in a car park in San Francisco.
Mo Spates, Mo Problems.
Yep. Yep.
No way.
He was coming out of a nightclub. I believe the nightclub was called, what was it called? Irrelevant. And he was in the car park and they wanted his bling. They wanted his chain, his
Why
gold.
The fuck, out of everyone in the universe, would you try and roll Mo Spates?
I reckon once San Fran find out that, you know, one of their golden boys was fucking, you know, gun pulled on him.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. They'll fuck him up. But the fuzz got him, so it's cool. They already found him. But yeah.
Spates looks like he would know guys that would end a cunt.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He ran. Apparently, they pulled a gun. There was a gang thing. There was a couple of them. One dude pulled... This Michael guy pulled a... Lamont, I should say, pulled a gun on him. Spates was having none of it. Probably much fitter than those guys anyway.
Yeah, no doubt.
And got out of there. And yeah, the fuzz found him later. And yeah, I just hope all the ballers in San Fran... Because a lot of ballers are gangsters and shit. Hopefully, they find out this piece of shit going after your hometown boy who's been a fucking beast this season.
Hasn't he?
What are you thinking? But, you know, maybe he's into NFL and he doesn't know shit about ball. Who knows?
Exactly.
He's a fuckhead, though. He's a mad douchebag. So.
That's a great douchebag. Yeah. What a strong contingent of douches.
Yeah, that was one of our better ones.
Yeah. You beauty.
Hoorah.
Gotta love it.
Let's talk about this one more trade, eh? Let's talk about my brother's... team getting rid of Jeff Green.
Celtics in full-blown tank mode,
blowing
now.
It the fuck up.
They're going full hinky 76ers. Good yep. on them, though. It's definitely necessary.
Oh, totally.
Jeff Green gone to Memphis. Tayshaun Prince and his ginormously long arms
and gross contract
and weird slender face.
Yep.
All up, and they don't even care if he still played. He got told he was traded, and he still played that night because they don't care if he snapped his leg in half or
yeah,
anything.
That's true.
He's just dollars. That's all he is. But
better for Memphis. That's a big story here.
How can you not be excited if you're Memphis? On paper, this feels like the exact move that
missing
they
link.
Yeah. So they now get a full-time three-man who can shoot threes, defend multiple positions, and
offense,
play
defense,
small ball, power forward as well.
It's fucking great.
But it's still Jeff Green.
Yeah.
And he's the ultimate on paper dude.
Yeah.
Every team would like a guy like
hates,
that, but yet...
Hates the clutch.
Yeah. What's the go with that? He's got all the tools, but yet he's never really found...
Doesn't want the ball.
A steady home, has he?
It's like... But they probably don't need him to do that. So it's kind of a good fit. I like it because they're not asking him to do everything. You know, he's going to get in there. He's kind of like an upgrade to sort of where Tony Allen was when they were playing him at the three. You know, it was a bit weird there. And he's definitely an upgrade from Prince. So I really think that they needed more options at the three spot, and they got that. They were chasing Luol as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same player.
Yeah. Who would you prefer?
Jeff Green. He's younger. He's probably a tad more athletic. That said, he doesn't really have the greatest jump shot.
And he's not as dependable as Deng. I think that's the thing. You don't really see many games from Luol where he goes like 4 of 15. And
that's
just
true.
Yeah, I think Green's
But look at that system that he's coming into. All he can do is improve there, I think. I can't see him going backwards. So if he comes in at the level he's at now, he's going to get coached very well. It's a great offensive system they play there. And the emphasis on D. He could be exactly what Jimmy Butler is. Not that, like, this season, but not that intense, but you know what I mean? Like, sort of like mediocre to, like, well above average player. And that transition could happen maybe next season or something if he stays in Memphis for a while. So, I really like it.
And are you starting him right away? You move Courtney Lee to the bench, or do you think you're...
Aren't they going to put Tony Allen at the two? I thought they were putting...
Lee and Allen both start now. With Conley and Randolph and Gasol.
Yeah. I like Green at the three. Green can play the two though, can't he?
He can play. I think they sort of go positionless really after that because you've got Allen who can probably guard four positions.
Yeah.
Green's probably the same.
Well, these days it's just like, what is it? Smalls, wings and bigs. That's it. So whatever. But I prefer Courtney Lee coming off the bench to work with that second unit. I think he's going to bring more to the second unit than say Green or Allen would.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's fair. So maybe I'd do that, but whatever, you know, it's a great addition when you've got like those four players, you know, like you've got a Gasol, and Gasol, don't forget, is like such a great passer out of the post. And if you can find a cutting Green, he can finish, and that's perfect, you know? Yeah. And I think I don't think Prince was really doing that much anymore.
Nah, it's time for Prince to go.
Totally.
We've had enough.
Yeah.
Quick yes or no.
Yeah, sure.
Will Memphis make the conference finals?
Oh, I would have said yes probably before this. And I don't know if he's like, 100% yes now. But yeah, I think the way Memphis are playing...
So they're going to beat San Antonio or Golden State over 7 games. They're going to beat Portland over 7 games.
I think they can beat... Well, no one's beating Golden State anyway, so you can take that out. But
Memphis?
Yeah, I'm sort of lost for words with the West. Like, anything can happen. Like, right now, you've got San Antonio at 7th. So, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, the Clippers, Dallas, Memphis. Like, Dallas are... you don't want to come up against any of these teams. You know, like, it's going to come down to up to a matchup problem with some of these teams. It's going to come up to a couple of clutch buckets. That's all. Yeah. I'd be petrified trying to be a bookie on the West.
Well, give us a... tell me...
Yes or no.
In stone.
What was... them? Are they making the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they are.
So, I think it's going to be Memphis, Golden State, Western Conference Finals?
Fucking A. Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's their time. They've been around that for a long time. They're around this, like, second round sort of, you know, threatening to do something. I think the way they're playing at the moment... it's the best I've ever looked, so let's do it. Why not?
Can we talk about Rondo quickly for a sec?
Yeah, please.
So, we haven't spoken since Rondo has gone to Dallas for pretty much Brandon Wright, who's on the move to Phoenix already.
Yep.
Boston's still clearing house.
Yep.
And Jameer Nelson. And mixed bag results, but I'm all for it. I think it's great. You know, you look at there's a murderer's row of point guards in the West. We spoke about it before. Westbrook, CP3, Lillard, Parker, Conley, Curry, Dragic, even Drew Holiday and Ty Lawson.
Yeah, Bledsoe.
And they're able to play these guys straight up now and not have Monte Ellis have to guard these guys pretty much every other game. So Rondo is definitely not the defensive player he was a couple of years ago.
He said that he checked out on defense, though. And
which is fucked up.
I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, you know, do you really want a guy like that on your team that when the chips are down, they just, like, don't give a shit?
I mean, you don't want to hear that, but, you know, he's being honest and you just got to say, well, for a contender, you know, he's your guy. But if you're not, then fuck him off straight away.
But
that seems to be what Boston have done.
When you're playing...
His value is too good for Boston. They have to do it while they can. He's a free agent next year.
Yeah, that's
they weren't going to get anything for him.
I think it's great, it's really affected Chandler Parsons a bit.
Yeah.
Or Robin Thicke, as Chris Webber calls him. His numbers are down across the board.
Yeah.
And the bench is sort of decimated.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you think they're better after the trade?
Well, you just got to look at it and say, was it better not having such a guy who needs the ball as much, like Jimmy Nelson was starting, and he was happy to delegate, it looked like. His numbers weren't crazy. He wasn't taking many shots. Do they need that because they kind of already got all the other positions they need shots for? Not that Rondo's taking shots, but he's a guy who needs the ball in his hands. So, it's a tough one. I mean, when you heard about it and you're like, oh, wow, look at that starting five now. That's epic.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might not be the silver lining everyone's hoping for. It's all up to Rondo. You know, he's such a head case half the time. If his D gets better and he really looks to, like, execute the offense rather than sort of be like a guy who just massages the ball and goes for, like, an epic pass.
Yeah.
It could work pretty good. You think Carlisle will get him in line?
Yeah, I think ultimately when it comes playoff time and all these guys are playing huge minutes and the bench are just spotting them, that it's going to work out a bit better. The game's going to slow down. Like, having the best offense in the league isn't necessarily going to get you across the line in that. So
that's
I think them being able to contain point guards in the West is huge.
Yep.
That's going to help in that regard. And they'll probably figure it out. And you're just going to see a shitload of Nowitzki in the playoffs as well.
Totally.
It all breaks down, and I'd rather have him than Jimmy and Nelson.
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. That's when you look at it, you're like, well, it's an upgrade, and you'd like to think that these guys have the confidence and the intelligence to work it out. That's why they're fucking epic NBA players. So work it out. A guy like Nowitzki, Rondo will listen to.
Quick yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to meet in the playoffs...
Mm-hmm.
Would Dallas beat Houston over
seven
games?
Great question. Why are you throwing these, like, these are like unanswerable questions right now?
This is what I think about when I'm high in the shower.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I think they're a little bit more mature than Houston. I think they have probably a few more options, but what are those matchups? That's what I just keep coming back to. You know, Howard and Chandler, that's kind of pretty even, I reckon. Howard's not the beast he used to be.
No.
Dirk at the four with Josh Smith or with Patterson. Or who else do they trot out? Jones?
Yeah, Jones and Monty Ennis.
So, you know, they probably could exploit that a fair bit. The three spot's pretty interesting. Ariza, Parsons.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
And you're going to see, like, Beverly... And trying to contain Monte Ellis. And,
it's awesome.
Yeah, be pretty crazy.
I have to say, answer something, don't I there? I like Dallas. I like Dallas. What about you?
Yeah, look, I saw Harden and Howard almost beat Portland by themselves.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, by themselves in a series over seven games
last
year.
Well, they kind of should have.
Yeah, they probably should have won.
That game,
probably should have won the series.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'd like to think that I think Dallas, better coach, probably better personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But their bench isn't as strong as what it used to be. But yeah. I think Dallas would win that series. I think there'd be too much Nowitzki for them to handle.
Yep. Don't put any money on it, though.
No, not safe at all.
What about this one? Who has an uglier jump shot, Marion or Prince?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing's uglier than Marion's.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yeah, but it's close.
It's
very close. I can't wait to see the West playoffs. It's going to be great. I just saw this random thing this week with the Knicks, and, you know, we all try not to talk about the Knicks too much, but it's kind of good for a punching bag, you know, and they're just so fucking awful. It's hard not to mention them. I think they're 5-35, which is the worst record in basketball.
Lost 25 of 26.
It's unbelievable. I'm so happy, though, because I hate Derek Fisher.
Yeah, and it just fell out. I'm going to hammer home how right I am about them every fucking week.
There was a video or a GIF I saw of Derek Fisher timeout, and he's resorted to treating them like college kids or high school players. He's like, guys, their ring's the same height as ours. It's a 10-foot. That's 5-on-5. You know, we can do this. It's like, sick, man. Sick strategy.
And the fans have started yelling, Fire Fisher.
Yeah,
there's been Fire Fisher chants.
Sick. Oh, it's so good. Will you please fucking laugh at the fact that Phil Jackson threw him under a bus? Just fucking laugh at it. It's funny as fuck.
Yeah, but
it's great. It's true.
It's too retroactive.
Fucking true.
Yeah. Your delivery.
Did you see the New York fans brown bagging it this week?
Yep.
a couple of more than a couple were spotted with paper brown paper bags over their head, just being super embarrassed to be at the game supporting the Knicks.
The inside the NBA guys got in on it as well. I saw
heavy,
unbelievable.
There's talk, and I don't know if it's true, and I don't know the angle here, but they're talking about wrapping Melo up for the rest of the season and just going, you're not going to play him. There's a bunch of fucking no names. It's done. We don't want you to get injured. Like, we've got cap room now. We're going to make a play next year, do something. So we're probably going to wrap him up. What is the mentality of the NBA and the Knicks in this situation? Because I know it goes on, and I know, like, Popovich did that shit years ago where he's like old on the sheet when they didn't play and stuff, which is awesome. But I think he got fined, and then you said it got rescinded or something like that.
That's how I remember it.
So whatever, but like, can you just do that and just go, he's not injured? Like, obviously you can fake an injury to a point, but do you just do that and go, yeah, we're just not playing him because we suck? Pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think it's up to the player.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, if there's reason to hold him out for medical reasons, the team can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's up to Melo if he's like, oh yeah, I'm happy to shut it down, or if he wants to play. I don't think they can do anything to stop him from playing.
But what about if he's like on par, if they're like, you know, talk him into going, just rest, you know, maybe go get tropical or something for a while. You know, we're cool with it if you're cool with it. Is there any sort of legality or any sort of precedent before that's happened where this goes on, in terms of like, he has a sort of, he's got to work, he works for his employer, which is the Knicks, sure, which in turn the NBA is wanting their best players on the court. There, you know, there's endorsements, there's season ticket holders in New York. You know, is it just like, does the NBA and everyone else and fans just have to be cool about it?
I don't think, like, they can't tell someone whether they're fit to play or not, I would say.
Right.
You know, and the Knicks team doctors, of course, are going to say,
oh,
yeah, there's reason to believe that. And, you know, even if nothing shows up, if Melo's like, oh, my knee's sore, I'm not comfortable playing, they can't force him to play.
It has to be on, like, sort of a, like, okay, we're all in on this, just do it, this is what we're doing.
This is going to be what's best for the team, we're happy for you to sit out.
Wow.
I don't think Melo's going to do it. Phil was on record this week saying that Melo wants to play in the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to come to the All-Star game, but what about after that?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's wrap him up in cotton wool and go.
I get the feeling that Melo's not that type of guy, though.
I don't think he is either.
And plus, he's got his own legacy, you know? All these games that he doesn't score points, he doesn't move up the ladder of the scoring championship and whatnot.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Very interesting. I was just curious about that. I was wondering if there was any sort of... Yeah, I just wanted your opinion.
Well, anytime we get to hose on the Knicks, I love it. I got a quick hypothetical regarding them.
Okay.
So, there's infinity free agents on the market for next year. Most of them be smart enough not to want to go to New York. But say in this instance that you're Phil, and these are all locked in, you can do one of these moves. Which one would you choose?
Just one.
Just one.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler at $16 million a season. Wes Matthews at $14 million a season, or Draymond Green at $12 million a season?
Oh. I don't think you'd go for Butler because you've kind of got Melo doing a very similar operation. I do like Wesley Matthews for them, but I'd probably go after Draymond Green because he's multifunctional. You play him at the four, but he can certainly go down to the three or guard a two. Rebounds. I mean, he's nearly averaging a triple double. Yeah, I think it's, for me, that's a no-brainer. I go after Green
because you've already got Melo. Is he going to move the needle that much for you? You reckon if you're trying to?
Well, he's the cheapest option, and you're getting the most productivity out of him. So, I'd go with him. Yeah,
fair enough.
Who else is on there?
There's a bunch of guys. You know,
Wesley Matthews is a good pickup, though. Is he worth $14 million?
Well, I think so.
In this day and
age, Chandler Parsons is worth $15 million, and Gordon Hayward.
Sure. Yeah.
You got a two guard who can defend and shoot threes.
Yeah.
And rarely gets hurt.
They're probably going to go after these guys. This is what's going to happen.
They save $20 million on the with the J.R. Smith Shumpert trades. And that gives them a lot of money to spend next year.
But
you got to hope that, like, the big names are LaMarcus Aldridge is in there. DeAndre Jordan, I guess you could throw in there. LeBron. It's not going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if they go after DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, but you know, after the, what are you going to get from him that Tyson Chandler didn't give you the last couple of years? He's not. I don't think he's any better than Tyson Chandler. If I was them, I'd be going for Jimmy Butler, defensive two guard.
Uh-huh.
He's multifaceted. He can guard all your wing players where Melo's not so strong. He's unselfish, but he's proven he can score when he has to. And most importantly, he'll play both ends of the court. And they don't have a single player that can play both ends of the court.
That's true.
That's where I'd be starting with them.
Hey, Stoudemire's contract is off next season as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's another 20 million, isn't it? Or 18.
Swimming in cash.
So they can offer Jimmy Butler the max. And
but Jimmy Butler can only get 16 million a season.
Well, his max. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's probably more than Chicago want to pay him. Don't you think? That's the big question. Will Chicago want to pay him? They're notoriously bad at paying players what their true value is.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of other teams are going to be throwing the max at Jimmy Butler. This is a big question, you know. I think they should, and it depends how far they go this season, obviously. But what more would you want? And he's young, and he's aggressive, and he's healthy, and he's smart.
Yeah.
But I Stranger Things, man.
I don't know,
what's
man.
His name? Reisendorf still owns him, doesn't he? What's his name?
Oh, Reinsdorf, Jerry.
He fucking hates paying people.
Yeah.
Man, I would not be surprised.
If I was New York, if they could get Kawhi and Jimmy Butler, I know that's like a lot of wing guys.
They won't get Kawhi.
But of course not.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
I know what you mean.
The league's shaping up. Melo's a power forward now, pretty much.
Yep.
And if you're looking at a crunch time five where you've got those three guys. Dangerous,
yeah,
know, like defensively and offensively, you're looking at then you're looking at just the guy who can rebound and block shots and catch oops.
Yep.
That could, like a Brandon Wright type of guy, will get it done there, and maybe a pass first point guard who can defend.
So I don't think you're going to see Phil go after like do what Brooklyn did and just buy everyone and go, awesome, let's go now. Let's do it now.
Shh. Hey, shut up.
I don't think you're going to see Phil go after like every team, every player like Brooklyn did, for example. I think he's going to slow build. I think he's going to get one big piece, add a role player or two, and try to entice people to a system and to a culture, because he's smart, and that's the best way to do it. People want to play in New York. Let's not forget that. Even though they suck, you get a couple of big names there, and you can turn it around in an instant there.
But... So, you think it's going to be a fast turnaround?
No.
Or,
well, not fast as in terms of Brooklyn, like where they just bought heaps of players and were like, we're going for it now. I think you've signed Melo for, you know, for another 4 years or something like that. You might go after, like a Jimmy Butler who you can grow with and develop. Same with Draymond Green or something like that. See how that team performs. Maybe add like a couple of veteran guards or something, because there's no guards there at the moment. There's no one.
Yeah, well, they got Calderon.
But he's done fuck all. Is he injured still?
No, he's having an awful season.
Yeah.
And he's ruining my fantasy team.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can build with him. So you've got that there. That's a piece. So you got Melo and Calderon, say. So you can build with a Butler there at the two, or you can sort of try and go after a big man. And then that's okay, a bit of a nucleus. Then you go again. It's how he did it in Chicago. And you can play the draft now. They could go after a big rookie. So... I don't know. I don't think New York are going to suck for that long.
I'm just worried that...
Unless they're just tainted and everyone's just like, gross, New York for a while.
Yeah, and it's not going to be that long till Carmelo's 35 and he's still getting 20-plus mil a season.
Yeah, that's
looking at like a Kobe situation.
Yeah,
over there.
That's so very true.
I think they've got maybe 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
So you've got to get guys who are young enough to, you know... give yourself a future, but at the same time, we're going to be ready to compete to go deep in the playoffs over the next 3 years. That's why I'll be going for guys like that. And maybe like Dragic.
Maybe.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck the Knicks.
That was too long. Sorry, everyone. Let's talk about Atlanta.
Atlanta.
No one's really giving them enough credit at the moment, and they're top of the East. They're 23-3 in their last 26 games. It's fucking crazy.
And they're 9-0 against the West in their last 9 games. And a lot of those games away from home as well.
Very impressive.
They're
very,
the
very impressive.
I watched them play Detroit last night, and it might have looked close on the scoreboard, but it was a monstering.
Yeah.
They're a much better team than them. The way they're playing at the moment... No one stops moving. That's unbelievable. You know, like a lot of guys, if you're not setting a pick, you're running a decoy, you're flaring out to the corners, you're crashing the offensive glass. Everything's looking good there. I don't think they want for anything at the moment. maybe a bit more low post scoring, but Millsap and Horford are starting to show up.
Damari Carroll said they feel like they're in a college team. They ignore the media, they ignore the outside world, they ignore what other big players say. They focus on their own offense and defense. Obviously, they have a culture there that's just like, you know, they wrap themselves up and it's just them. And they just mind their own business and go about their offense, and it's working really well. Super surprising and super random as well, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like... it's awesome to give them credit because they're playing really well, but, you know, at the end of the day, they haven't really done anything yet. No. I mean, we're nearly at the halfway point of the season. They're winning the East. It's fucking awesome. But I still think Chicago are the best team in the East.
Yeah, you probably favor Chicago over 7 games.
But, man, I really do like the way Atlanta play, and you're kind of seeing this, like, share the ball concept. Like you said, the ball doesn't stick. Horford's back. But they don't have to rely on him like they used to. Millsap's been fucking a beast. He's super consistent. Jeff Teague, man, he's quietly turning into an all-star, I reckon. But again, it's only Wes is voting for him in all-star voting.
I think he's going to get on the team.
You reckon?
Jeff Teague is one of the top 6 or 7 guards in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I just don't know if people are going to vote for him.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Coaches.
Merit. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, and you've got Korver, who just quietly, he's first in the league in 3-point percentage, and he shot 106 of them. He shot more than Steph Curry. It's crazy.
It's
and also
nuts.
94% on free throws.
Yep.
The guy, what he does off the ball and the gravity he has for other players to get towards him and how it opens up for the other guys is unfathomable. And you've got Cephalosha's playing great off the bench.
I've noticed that.
And Schroeder.
Schroeder.
They got a lot of guys. And yeah,
he looks good off the
East.
Bench. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's a nice story. Hopefully they can continue it and just be... I mean, the East is semi-weak, but it's awesome to see like teams like Atlanta, you know, going, okay, well, we're going to take it on. Let's do it. It's ours. If no one else is going to do it, we're going after it.
And here's a team, you know, like, heaven forbid they get out of the Eastern Conference, but they're proving that they play a style of ball that can beat Western Conference teams.
Yeah, well, I was listening to a Simmons... Zach Lowe podcast, and they're like, why can't we talk about them winning the East? Why can't we talk about them in the finals? And I was like, fuck, wow, that's huge. But when you think about it, based on the depth they have, no one can really touch them except Chicago. I don't really think Cleveland are going to do much damage. Second round, maybe, at this stage. But, you know, again... It's not even halfway through the season, so you know, we're not getting too ahead of ourselves. Washington,
they're definitely in the frame.
Toronto.
Watching Washington touch up Chicago the other night.
Yeah.
And it was
that was
just,
pretty cool. That was 20.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they did it pretty easy.
I know.
Every time their starting fives played each other, Washington completely outplayed them.
I just love how random the East is. It's so cool.
It's a good season.
It's cool because, you know, you just can't predict it very well, and it's awesome to see. Like, there's, 3 games between first and fourth. At the moment.
Unheard of.
It's crazy.
And nothing more random than Detroit winning 7 of 8.
Yeah.
8 of their last 10 since the Josh Smith trade.
And look at Indiana. Look at that bag.
Yeah.
A game and a half behind the eighth spot.
1 game out of the playoffs.
And you're like, what the fuck? How?
Yeah.
Whatevs. And then there's your mates in Detroit.
Unbelievable.
There's Van Gundy.
Can I just be the first to like not be aboard the train?
Because, yeah.
You know, it didn't look good. I watched them play Atlanta, like I said. Andre Drummond barely played in that game. And
he's a shell of himself.
Yeah, I don't like his effort.
Mm-hmm.
He looks really lost on defense. He puts up these crazy rebounding numbers, but I don't like his attitude. And his shoulders are so fucking hairy. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why someone's not onto that. That's heavy.
But, you know, everyone can get as excited as they like about Detroit. I don't think it's going to go any further than this, just personally.
No, I'm not, like, super psyched on it. I mean, like I was saying, like, whatever, Indiana is still above them, so fuck. But it's good to see, you know, you're just not sucking as much as you were. And like you said, you get rid of Josh Smith. It's funny that Atlanta and Detroit are both, like, recovering Josh Smith addicts or something, you know what I mean? Like, and oh, he's bailed, and they both are on a tear,
thriving,
you know? Which is pretty nuts. So, I don't know. It looks like Stan Van Gundy's got his system working a bit better there. Brandon Jennings lately, you know, it's been pretty good.
Hard
he hit that
top.
Game winner the other night,
running floater against the San Antonio.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, but whatevs, you know, hey, at least they're just not sucking as much as they were, and they're probably going to end up where everyone kind of thought they'd be. Did you have them enter getting in the playoffs, Detroit?
No.
No, no one did.
No.
So they're kind of now, they're sitting, what, like 9, 10, 11th in the East? Fucking A.
Yeah, but they're not better than Brooklyn or Miami or Indiana or Charlotte, I don't think.
They're probably better than Milwaukee, just quietly, who are at 6. That's pretty nuts.
I don't know. I don't think they are. Milwaukee, it's not a fluke in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They got a good thing going.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll save Milwaukee for another day, though.
Totally. But yeah, big shout, Detroit. Yep. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, fucking hey. Yep. Hopefully Stan doesn't lose his mind or anything. But yeah, good times.
All right, you beauty.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we covered a lot of stuff. I was happy about that. I didn't mind that, you know. I think VG, I miss him a lot, but, you know, do that anytime with you, babe.
Yeah, VG might be the Josh Smith of our podcast.
Oh, is he toxic to our podcast? How dare I? Sorry, Wes. You have a fucking lovely time in the States. Eat all the In-N-Out burgers you want. Fucking love you, miss you. And
it's not cheating if you're in a different area.
He's going to a game. Who's he going to see?
Well, I think he thought he was going to see LeBron, but that might not be happening.
So, who? Cleveland and who? Where's he going?
I think it's Cleveland and Phoenix.
Oh, he's in Phoenix,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, or maybe it was the Clippers or something.
Fucking A. Well, yeah. And thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll be back super soon with some more NBA bullshit.
Great.